And so let's just write as much as we can. And sometimes we've exhausted our mental capacity for the day, and it's okay to set it aside. And I found when I do that, that God so often redeems the time. So the next time I sit down, I'm refreshed, I'm ready to go. And I end up writing more words than I would have had I just forced myself.
We'll talk about this and much more today. Welcome to a Writer's Day podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Writer's Day podcast. My name is Ruth Douthit, and I'm a multi-published award-winning author of books. And I started this podcast a few years ago because, as you know, I love writing. I love talking about writing, and I really love talking to published authors about their writing process and their journey to become published authors, because it's so inspiring. So welcome. I'm glad you're joining me here today. A few exciting things are coming up. First of all, be sure to sign up for my newsletter at artbyruth.com so you can win free books and my newsletter book giveaways. And you will receive a free PDF copy of Dragon Games, book 2 in my Elves of Olgard series, which will lead you to book 3, recently released Dragon Riders. So sign up for my newsletter today for more information about me, my books, my art, all things Art by Ruth. Upcoming interviews here on a Writer's Day podcast. I'm excited to have Stefina McGee come and talk to me about her newest book, The Secrets of Emberwild. She spoke to me about her inspiration for this book and about her writing journey, as well as Suzanne Woods Fisher. I enjoyed speaking with her again, but this time about her Amish book, Anything But Plain. It's a fascinating story. So those two interviews are coming up on my podcast, so stay tuned. And I will be having a Facebook Live event coming soon. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited about this one. Madlit Assist, which assists me with my virtual presence. They are amazing if you're an author out there who needs help with expanding your platforms. Madlit Assist with Jamie Jo Wright is perfect for you. And she has put together a live Facebook event for me on November 22nd called Of Dragons, Dreams, and Faraway Places. This event will be me creating dragon art live and talking about fantasy fiction. A few authors are joining me in book giveaways, so make sure you sign up for this event on Tuesday, November 22nd at 6 p.m. You can go to my author page at author Ruth Douthit for more information and join the group Of Dragons, Dreams, and Faraway Places on Facebook. I hope to see you there on November 22nd. Wow, a lot is going on here at a Writer's Day podcast. And like I said, I'm excited to have you here. I know you have many podcasts to choose from, and I'm so honored that you've chosen to spend time with me today. She loves to read and drink coffee, but she mostly loves to write fiction with elements of mystery, faith, and romance from her home in Wisconsin. Jamie Jo Wright. She's a coffee drinker by day and night, and she loves to write, and she's a very prolific author too, an award-winning author. She's won the Christie Award, the Inspi Award, and the Kipp Award for her many amazing books. And I'm honored to have her here with me today to talk about her newest book, The Premonition at Withers Farm. Ooh, doesn't that sound spooky? So you know the drill. Grab your favorite beverage, a comfortable chair, kick back and relax as we listen to Jamie Jo Wright talk about her newest book. Hi, everyone. Welcome to a Writer's Day podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today because we are going to be listening to best-selling prolific writer Jamie Jo Wright. Welcome, Jamie.
Hi. Thanks for having me here.
And I just want to start out by saying your publisher does such a phenomenal job on your covers, because I have purchased 3 of your books based solely on the covers. They are spectacular.
Yeah, my cover designer is Jennifer Parker, and she works with Bethany House Publishers, and she's amazing, the mm-hmm. stuff that she can do, and I've always just been thrilled. In fact, I very rarely have anything that I want changed. Once I get the cover, I'm just like, yep, that's perfect.
Yeah, right? I know. I mean, she adds such depth and intrigue mm-hmm. to them with her lighting and, you know, layering the mm-hmm. images and such. It just draws you in. And so, and I design my own cover, so I'm always in awe of people who design so well. And one of your books actually inspired one of my own covers. The Road to Home was inspired by one of your books. I'm trying to think of what I have it here. I have your list on the cliffs of Foxglove Manor. And also the house on Foster Hill is inspiring my next book, which is a ghost story, kind of spooky story. So I buy your books off the covers and then just love the stories. But yeah, so she does a phenomenal job. Bravo.
Well, I've told her she's got to stop being so good, because at some point the covers are going to be better than the story.
We can't have that.
No.
Well, why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about your new book, The Premonition of Withers Farm.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I am Jamie Jo Wright, and I live in Wisconsin, deep in the heart of the woods. And I am a cat lady in the making. I have 4 felines, and I would prefer to have far more than that. But my husband says we have to draw the line somewhere, apparently. I'm not sure why. we have 2 kids. I have a daughter and a son, and they are in 7th and 5th grade, and we are homeschooling. And so I spend most of my time at home with my computer and one of my cats, who's my fluffy white cat named Foo. And I do a lot of computer work and social media management for other writers, and I write, and then my kids interrupt me and my daughter brings me coffee. So
sounds like a great life.
I think we're slowly getting into a routine here, and my daughter's the coffee barista of the family. So
oh. Now, did you always have a desire to write? Did that happen young in life, when you were younger, or?
I did. I remember being in grade school and getting frustrated, because I would have these stories in my mind, which I didn't realize was what happens to storytellers, right? Where you, mm-hmm. you create your own stories, but they weren't written. And I would go to the library and I would look for stories along the lines of what was in my mind. And I couldn't find any, and I would get really frustrated. And I remember telling my dad about it, and he's like, well, that might mean that you need to write one. Mm-hmm. And so I started writing, and I wrote my first book. This is a funny story. I wrote my first book when I was 13, and I sent it to Bethany House Publishers. And I got a really nice email back from the editor saying, you know, you're not quite there yet, but I'm really impressed what a young girl like you is able to do with words. So keep writing and let us know in the future if you have anything else. And so fast forward about, you know, 30 years, not quite.
And there
now
you
Bethany
are.
House Publishers is my publisher. So
oh, isn't that neat? Oh, my
goodness.
It was
a neat story. And it's, you know, it's such a testament to the idea of how an adult can either crush mm-hmm. or encourage a young child in what they do. And, you know, this editor wasn't unrealistic and didn't say, oh my goodness, you're the best author. You obviously, you know, she didn't give me false hopes, but at the same time, she was kind, and she was able to pick out the areas that, you know, there was some promise, and it was just enough to keep me going, oh, this is still a possibility. You know, I could still pursue this. So,
yeah, I love that. And I'm, as a teacher, you know, I always look back and think, did I crush someone's soul? was I encouraging, or did I, like, you know, totally blow it? Because we realize how powerful our feedback can be. And so that is special that editor didn't just completely crush you and say, "What? You're just a child. I don't think so,"
Right.
you know, but
Right.
soft pause and aw.
I still have that book. In fact, I found it in my closet the other day and I was like, I should just post this for people to read it and laugh at because it's horrible. It's so horrible. And that editor had to have been the kindest soul on the face of the earth.
No, but definitely a kind soul to want to make sure that you were not discouraged but encouraged to keep going
Correct.
on your journey.
Yes,
Aww.
exactly.
Why this genre, though? I've noticed a pattern with you. What made you drawn to this kind of genre that you write?
That was kind of a steady journey into this genre. I didn't start out writing kind of the gothic, mystery. Definitely, I didn't start out writing the dual time story. But I've always had a deep interest in mystery. I've had a deep interest in the classics like Great Expectations and The House of Seven Gables and Jane Eyre and all the ones that were the darker classics, Edgar Allan Poe, And so as I started writing, I was doing a lot of historical romance slash suspense, and it just continued to morph until it really kind of came into its own little niche of that mixture of haunting, ghostly, but with an element of inspiration. It was kind of like, how can we explore the mysteries of life in a way that's can bring us into hope, but also walk us through those shadowy tunnels of mystery and lore, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so your stories don't go dark. They end with the light.
They do. They
That's
do. So,
okay.
I always say that they're a little bit like Scooby-Doo, if you've ever watched the cartoon. Like,
Oh,
you're going to
yeah.
have ghosts and you're going to have, creepy things that jump out at you and, you might want a light on, but in the end, the sheet comes off and you find the culprit behind the sheet and you understand what's been going on. So.
Oh, interesting. And that's good. Because we can still put Christian principles in our spooky, gothic
Right.
stories of lore
Right.
and not lead people completely in the dark. I like that.
Exactly.
So now let's talk about your latest. What was the inspiration to this spooky story?
Well, this spooky story I fell into completely by accident. We were on a short family vacation to some friend's house in Michigan, and they had just moved to a farmhouse and they had been cleaning out their old chicken coop, and they showed me these letters that they found in the chicken coop that had been written in, I think they were the late 1960s or early 70s, and they were kids' notes from their clubhouse that they'd had in the chicken coop way back in the day. But I started thinking, huh, I wonder what it would be like if somebody stumbled across letters or a diary or a journal of a serial killer who kept notes about his thoughts and the people he was considering as his next victims. And then it just kind of, I started talking to my friend about it and I said, your farmhouse is really creepy. And it just kind of all exploded from there. So.
Wow, that is fascinating. And you saw the letters?
I did.
And
And
they were
like I said, they were notes, kind of like minutes, like if you had a business meeting,
wow.
but they were written by young kids. And, so they listed, so and so is the president. And then the next day, the president was no longer the president of the club because they didn't like him because he was annoying. And, so they were really cute letters.
Oh
They
my
weren't
goodness.
sadistic or creepy. And of
Yeah,
course,
yeah.
my brain had to turn them into sadistic and creepy.
Yeah.
So.
I would have done the same thing though. That is so interesting. Oh my goodness, I would freak out if I saw that. I would go right down that same path. So
Yeah,
yeah.
it was just a must. And somehow I had to write about letters in an old chicken coop at an old farmhouse, and then this story just really, really came to fruition. So,
Tell us about this story set in 1910, Michigan. Tell us about it.
yeah. So this story, it is a dual time, which means part of the story takes place in 1910, and part of it takes place in present day. And in short, in 1910, there's a young woman who is murdered, and they decide to try and find out what happened to her. And of course, that's when you introduce the cast of characters. And Pearliette Van Hilton is a self-proclaimed rural healer. She's also the daughter of the local spiritualist, because spiritualist movement back then was really big. And so her mother is basically, in short, a medium, and she tries to contact the dead, and she's assured that her resources will help them contact the murdered victim and find out who the killer is. And then we have the present day, where we find out that murder was potentially never solved. And we have Molly, who's purchased the farm where the murdered girl had lived, and she starts experiencing some visions and some things that she's like, wait a second, is this place haunted? And she starts looking into the past. And of course, there's a new murder in the current day storyline. And it's odd to everyone how involved they seem to be, even though they're centuries apart. They all tie together. That's my my struggle at summarizing a pretty in-depth book, but
That's neat. It's creepy.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah. The farmhouse was fun. You know, I one of the fun, interesting tidbits I found out in my research was a lot of the old farmhouses and homesteads would use cast off tombstones for their foundations. So in other words, if you were creating a tombstone and it broke, or you misspelled the name, it would go in a pile, and farmers would come and pick up the stones and they'd build their foundations. So Withers Farm has a foundation and a basement with tombstones for walls.
Wow.
And so you're that
just
added
setting
a fun
yourself
little,
up for trouble.
Yeah, it added
that,
a fun
right?
Little
good grief
twist there.
Why not just tell the ghosts to come haunt you? Good grief. That's really cool. I never knew that happened. Wow.
Yeah, I hadn't either. And I found it on a strange, I don't even know where it was. It was online somewhere and I was studying, and I'm like, oh, that's totally going in my book.
Absolutely. Good grief. That's like people who build on those, cemeteries where they moved all the bodies elsewhere. And then
yes,
they build houses on these old cemeteries. It's like, oh my goodness, why not just have a celebration and say, hey, ghosts, why don't you come haunt us? Yeah.
I know. Hello,
we're
here,
stupid and we're here. Wow, that's really cool. That must have been fun to research, though, to prepare for this story.
It really was. It was a lot of fun. And there was so much, you know, growing up in the Midwest myself, growing up in farmland and woods and cornfields, I used to play hide and seek in the cornfields when I was a kid. So it was always a creepy place, the cornfield, whether it was daytime or it was nighttime. And so it was just fun to bring that in to the story and just bring in a lot of my roots as well. So
I can't even imagine playing out there at night.
Oh, it was the best ghost in the graveyard place.
Ooh, wow.
But honestly, the part that scared me when I was a kid in cornfields really had nothing to do with what might be lurking in the cornfields as far as ghosts, and more because there's these corn spiders that attach themselves to the ears of corn and the corn stalks. And they're, I don't know, they seem quite large to me. They're at least the size of a quarter, which is bigger than any spider should ever be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so those always had me quite nervous.
Yeah, they could get in your hair. And did they have webs? Did they make big webs?
They didn't. They would wrap their webs kind of around the corn stalks.
Oh, okay.
It's not like you would run into big webs. It was just like you would brush up against a corn stalk, and the next thing you know, there's this big hairy spider on your shoulder.
Oh,
and it's just,
gosh. Okay.
You know, I would much rather have run into a ghost than a
spider.
Yes.
Now I'm going to have nightmares. I always have nightmares about spiders. Oh, why did I ask that question? Wow. See, and I have such a vivid imagination that as a child, if I went out and played in something like that, I probably would have just been paralyzed with fear, because my mind would play so many tricks on me. So there's a story right there. Ready to be written.
Well, that's the funny thing too, is when I was a kid, I was not into, like, I loved mystery like Nancy Drew, but I was easily scared. I was not into, like, I never watched horror movies. I never watched creepy movies. Anything with ghosts was absolutely terrifying. So it's really funny that I've grown up and I've ended up gravitating to that. But I, from one standpoint, think it's kind of nice that I was never like thoroughly entranced by it either, because I kind of know that there's a limit of how far to take it before you creep people out too much. So
That's true. It's like that old saying, he who looks into the abyss must be careful because the abyss looks back at you. I think it
Oh.
was Nietzsche who said that. And I always remember, whoever fights monsters, that's what it's called. Whoever fights monsters
I like that.
must be
That's a
warned,
good
you know?
quote.
Yeah, it's creepy. And I agree because I've written ghost stories too. And you research and you research and you're writing. But as a Christian, you have to be really careful because, like I said, when you're looking into that darkness,
Yeah.
it's something's looking back at you. So you have to be
Yeah.
really careful not to lead your audience into the
Exactly.
darkness too
Too
far.
much. Exactly. Well, you know, and that's the thing with the premonition at Withers Farm, where Perliette starts exploring some of the spiritual world because her mother's really involved in it with the spiritualistic movement that was taking place specifically at the turn of the century. And there's lots of questions in the story where she's trying to reconcile her father's faith in God and her mother's faith in the spirit world and what is and isn't appropriate in the world to be chasing after,
That's
and
true.
trying to find what's the balance, and is there even a balance, or is it should it just be a shut door against danger? So we explore that, and I've had several readers say, if I didn't know it was you, I probably would have shut the book because I would have been scared it was going to dabble too much. But they were really glad that they kept reading because they said it was fun to see how you reconciled faith with things that are very real in the world and things that fascinate people as far as the spiritual world.
That's so true. Oh, well, I had just ordered the book, so I can hardly wait for it to get here because I want to dive into it.
Well, I won't give any spoilers
It's
then.
on sale, everybody. So head over to the website. I think you link to it from your website
It
to
should
where you can
be,
purchase the
yeah.
book. I think it's like 40% off or something like that. Wow.
Pre-orders were 40% off, but it's still 30% off at Baker Bookhouse.
Yeah, that's it.
And you can
Wonderful
get free
deal.
shipping, which is awesome.
That's
So,
what I took advantage of that sale, so wonderful.
right. It's great. In fact, they've got a Black Friday sale going on right now, which is really good too. You
Ooh,
can get a
there you
lot of good
go.
books for 50% off. My book, The Souls of Lost Lake, is 50% off right now. So,
50% off. That is a great
yeah.
deal. Head over there, folks. Now, speaking of writing process, now you are a homeschool mom, you write, and you must have a process. And I know right now NaNoWriMo is going on. So if you had a writer out there in front of you who is saying, you know, I'm ready to give up this NaNoWriMo stuff, writing 15, 2,000 words a day is just about driving me crazy. Being as experienced as you are with dealing with all that, how would you help someone in that situation remain motivated to keep going?
I like to say break it down into smaller sections for one, which isn't, I mean, that's not a groundbreaking observation. But when you look at 2,000 words a day versus I have 15 or 20 minutes to write, let me see if I can get 300 words. That's easier. It's easier to fit into your schedule and to it's a smaller bite to chew. And then I look at it from the standpoint of, you know, giving yourself time to take a break. Because I think so often in months like NaNoWriMo, we push, 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 push to the point where we're so stressed that our minds rebel and they shut down and we can't think anymore. We can't come up with story and we really kill the creativity. So giving yourself a time to take a break, I think is really important.
That's true. You have to stay refreshed and take care of
Yeah.
yourself, right? You don't want to
Yeah.
die
And
for the story.
right, exactly. And none of that's novel. I mean, none of that's like a, you know, genius idea or anything. It's a struggle because as writers, we battle against that. Like we don't want to take a break. Like we've got, you know, 1 hour and we need to write, you know, an 85,000 word book. And so let's just write as much as we can. And sometimes we've exhausted our mental capacity for the day, and it's okay to set it aside. And I found when I do that, that God so often redeems the time. So the next time I sit down, I'm refreshed, I'm ready to go, and I end up writing more words than I would have had I just forced myself.
Great advice indeed. Jamie Jo Wright, thank you so much for joining me today. And congratulations on being a finalist for this year's Christie Award. Are you heading over to the gala for that?
I am. I'm getting ready to go next week to Nashville. And if nothing else, hopefully enjoy a good meal with lots of friends.
We wish you the very best. And thank you for joining me today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Wow, wasn't that great listening to Jamie Jo Wright talk about her newest book and her writing journey and what inspired her to become an author? I think it's also fascinating how she's able to put faith and hope and light in her mystery stories that have a gothic feel. I hope that you've been encouraged to keep going on your writing journey, always going forward, one step at a time. And until next time, God bless.